Midweek Drive, each Wednesday at 5 p.m. on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's gift to the world, Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
Quite right, too. See, everything gets sorted out in its full routine. Before too long, though, we just have to say, Sarah Bullimore, how are you, Sarah?
I'm well, thank you, Alex.
You're going to be chatting about the Lyric Lounge and a whole heap of other goodies, including fables and other arty material that's around, etc. And welcome, Katie Grimmison. How are you, Katie?
I'm all right.
That's all right. Fantastic. There we are. We have Katie, we have Sarah, we have Annette, all set and ready to talk about women. So, but should I leave the studio at this stage, Annette? I mean, should I just...
you might want to halfway through.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm happy to go whichever way, shape, or form.
You're very broad-minded and open-minded. I think you might enjoy it.
Okie dokie. Right. Here we go, then.
All right. Like the novelist John Fowles, I too spent a childhood in the shadow of a monstrous dwarf. His was called Queen Victoria. Mine went by the name of Mother Ignatius, a demon stunted in both stature and humanity, whose witchcraft had me convinced until my 20s that I and all women were ordained by God to travel through life on a second-class ticket. This poisonous scripture was preached to the girls of the Brigidine College day in and day out by Mother Ignatius and the other Irish nuns, who by the time they came to the convent were scrubbed clean of all self-worth. Even after leaving school and beginning my career as a dancer and an actress, the venom of Mother Ignatius' teachings fed into my veins like an intravenous drip. When I finally broke free of my religious bondage, one of the first questions I asked myself was, why are women the world over treated as inferior to men? Now, what's ignited this rumination on the status of women was the recent rant of the American shock jock Rush Limbaugh. A lunatic motor mouth of the extreme right with a radio and TV audience in the many millions, Limbaugh focused his trademark vitriol on a young female law student who had just appeared before Congress in support of President Obama's proposed health care legislation. The most controversial part of this program seems to be the right for women to be guaranteed access to birth control contraception through their employment insurance health plans or private schemes. No provider, including hospitals, could refuse a policyholder contraception for ethical or religious reasons. Limbaugh accused the young woman of wanting to be paid for having sex, calling her a slut and a whore. Moreover, he demanded that if she wanted the public to pay for her immorality, he insisted that she send him a video of her having sex. Outrageous? That doesn't begin to cover his insanity. But then, he's hardly alone in his demented view and how we are treated in many societies and religions around the world today. From African ritual genital cutting to Arabian stoning women to death for daring to elope with a man of their choice, women are under siege and have been for millennia. Every week seems to bring examples of females being subjected to some form of violence by men. A sampling taken from recent news reports. And then we'll move on to my take on why I think this situation exists. In Canada, where she was given refuge, a Pakistani woman committed suicide after more than 25 operations to repair the ravages of having acid thrown in her face 10 years ago by the husband who beat her daily and retaliated when she attempted to run away. She left a note saying that life was too painful to continue. The husband, since remarried, was never charged for the assault. In Israel, schoolgirls young as eight are spat on and forced to run a gauntlet of Hasidic men and young boys hurling curses at them for wearing skirts showing their legs. In India last week, a mother buried the battered body of her three-month-old daughter, who was killed by her husband for the crime of not being born a boy. Well, the chances of him being arrested, much less brought to trial for murder, is less than nil. The photo of the baby in the shroud and the anguished, grieving mother broke my heart. In New York City, a 24-year-old Romanian woman bravely testified before a court that she had been illegally transported to the U.S. on the false promise of becoming a high-paid model. She was drugged, gang-raped, and within a month of her arrival was being hired out by 8 pimps to work the streets to ensure that no other pimp attempted to add her to his stable. Her wrist was tattooed with a barcode showing her ownership. In case she should harbor thoughts of escape, one of her pimps took a potato peeler and gouged her cheek as a minor example of what she could expect. If you think that the trafficking of women for prostitution is a shadowy, underground enterprise, think again. This young woman's services and dozens of others in the same horrific situation was openly advertised in a large circulation New York newspaper called The Village Voice and on their website. There, you can buy a woman as you would a used car or tube of toothpaste. Why is it that women are targeted for physical and verbal abuse by men? Why does a Rush Limbaugh or a religious zealot feel empowered to demean women with sexual slurs? Why is it that there are no male sluts? A man can be called an idiot, but never a bimbo, a tramp, or trailer trash, or as I grew up hearing women referred to, as Sheilas. That's male Aussie slang for a female kangaroo. Why is it that men in every society seem to go to extraordinary lengths to win the attention and affection of women and at the same time tarnish the grail? After decades of feminist activism in the media and academia, more and more women are prominent in previously all-male enclaves, from local to international politics, business, and the arts. When now more women than men are becoming doctors and lawyers in the UK and America, why has mankind resisted so effectively in not giving up the ghost of blatant sexism? My short but well-considered answer is that men can't give birth, and that zaps their egos. Once mating takes place, it is the woman who's in charge. It's she and she alone who nurtures, carries, and delivers the baby. No male needed, no male necessary. A testosterone-fueled imbalance of explosive dimensions. And so from biblical times on, men have acted to subvert this power women have and relegate them as servile to men. How else can you explain the Catholic Church's invention of the Virgin Mary? In one insidious but brilliantly Machiavellian swoop, the Church made a woman the paragon of motherhood, but unique, one of a kind. By miraculously bearing God's Son on earth, she could hardly be emulated by mere mortal women. And as it was and still is, it's the men who control religion and society. There is no room at the top for equality of the sexes. But if men are incapable of giving birth, they're not without the power to invent a crime and punishment atmosphere surrounding that fact of nature. By taking a woman's right to have control over her body, men have made abortion a crime in many parts of the world. By making abortion a key to the heart of their religion, the Catholic Church has influenced laws the world over to criminalize the act of a woman's decision not to give birth. Whether or not you personally agree or disagree on the right of a woman to keep or terminate a pregnancy, I think you wouldn't put up much of an argument against the feminist writer Gloria Steinem's view that if a man could give birth, abortion would be a sacrament.
We'll just have to hold it there, Annette, because I'm already thinking...
There are many points of view out there on this talk. I'd very much like to hear from you.
The views of Annette Andre with respect to some of the issues you raised there cannot necessarily be said in any way, shape or form to represent the Midweek Dive or indeed Siren FM. But they're out there. We've allowed certainly the message to go across. I think some fascinating thoughts there. Sarah, any initial comments? It's a bit of a heavy start to the show, I must admit, really, but still, never mind.
It's such a complex subject, though, as you kind of mentioned in there, Annette, and you know, it's always interesting and saddening as well, because you do read about all of the different issues and cultural issues as well that women face across the world all the time, every day on the news and in the papers.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know.
And I know it's an inflammatory situation or a, you know, thing, this, particularly the thing about pregnancy and abortion. I know it is, but there is a right to it, I believe. And it's really made into a criminal act, and I think that's very wrong. That's my opinion. But we long to hear other opinions on the whole of the talk.
Well,
about
I mean, it's almost as though it's Annette Andre shock jock at present. Really, I'm astounded in that routine. Get Katie, anything from yourself, really?
Yeah, I've always found it interesting how women, if like men, have always like it's one role for another kind of thing.
Do you think so? I mean, do you think? I mean,
yeah, because if women do something, men are always in the right, and women are always in the wrong.
I suspect we might be dealing with huge generalisations there, which might not necessarily be the case. But
there are generalisations, but you know, when it cuts to the quick, there is an awful lot of the overpowering of the female sex.
Hmm. Having said that, there is a sort of notion that actually the whole Gaia philosophy of the female planet and the female Earth actually goes all the way back to women sort of running the thing in the first place.
I agree with that. There were. I was going to bring that in, but it sort of mixes up.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. So at this stage, please, you know, I don't know where we're going with respect to that. Vince Grimerson has hopefully just managed to actually tune into the whole thing. Hello, Vince. Thought we'd give you a little mention because you've actually gone to Annette Andre's Facebook site and you've been making comments even as we speak, which is marvellous. He had difficulty tuning in, but he's managed to find us, which is nice, you know. And
oh,
if you want to go to a podcast,
I've seen his comments.
Yes, excellent stuff. And I suppose technically we'd also say if Russ Limbaugh wants to have a right of reply, technically he has as well, although I don't know, we just have to wait and see. It's different line.
Everyone has a right to reply.
It's astounding. You know, it's coming through in its own way. I mean, Sarah, looking at the Lyric Lounge, and we see obviously the role of the artist in terms of this Luke Wright and the Lincoln Writers Collective and a whole heap of other goodies that are coming through from the 20th of April onwards. Is this something elsewhere? You know, it's the role of the artist to sometimes actually add a little bit of roughage and perhaps a little bit of discomforting to the whole range of things? Or would you say maybe you need to actually just put a little proviso out there?
One of the things that Lyric Lounge does, and this is one of the arts events that I currently organise, it's on this Saturday in Lincoln. But one of the good things that it does allow, working with kind of poets and writers and that, is it gives everybody a voice, which is, you know, is a very, very important thing. The evening performance, actually, we've been working with a group of young people from one of the local schools, and they did some work with us last year as well. They're ranging from kind of age 13 to 16. And they work on workshops leading up to the Lyric Lounge event, and they perform in the evening. But what we do say to them is, we don't give them any kind of borders or boundaries on what sort of things they
apart from public taste and decency, presumably. So, I mean, we don't want them effing and jeffing all over the place, really.
No, but we say that if it's fitting within the piece,
within the context,
then it's fine. So I know that they've got quite a few controversial subjects that they will.
You see, I always think if you frighten the horses, to go back to that time, you don't know where we're going.
But
with
it's
that
allowing them to have their voice and their say. So
okay.
It's very important.
Okay. With that. And Katie was very excited, I know, when you actually said, ooh, Banksy,
yeah,
the Banksy film, Exit Through the Gate. Has Banksy actually made it to upstate New York, Annette? Banksy, you see, this is a one...
I don't know what... I actually don't know what this is about.
Well, would you like to explain who Banksy is, please, Sarah?
Banksy is an amazing street artist who is... All of a sudden, he's everywhere, though, isn't he?
Oh, is he the one that does all those wonderful drawings on the pavements and things?
Yeah, and he's got a lovely one.
I didn't remember his name was Banksy.
It's like a stencil.
It is, yeah, like a little dash of colour every so often as well. Some really beautiful ones.
Have you seen them? Actually seen them?
Yes,
on the pavements?
I've seen them in the books, and I've seen them
you've
in various
seen them,
shops
but
and
you've
galleries,
never seen Banksy
probably,
that
no.
you know of. You might have seen him, you may not have seen him.
Someone.
You might have seen her, of course.
Mm. Yes,
how do we know Banksy is, you know, let's not be gender specific
in
this
got
area.
A Banksy tattoo once on London Ink.
Well,
I think I saw it.
There you go. Yep. And a Banksy film, Exit Through the Gift Shop, is free, completely free, in the room upstairs, 11 a.m. through to 12:30 p.m. at the Lincoln Drill Hall on Saturday, the 28th of April. And so we've managed to knit together Annette Andre's somewhat hard-hitting audio letter from upstate New York. Honestly, if she continues on this routine, I'll have to pre-vet them beforehand. Otherwise, you know, our friends at Ofcom will be saying, can you run that immediately after New York? I see you. It's all right. We'll work through that.
Will I tone it down next time?
I think we just need to be a little bit sensitive in terms of, I mean, I don't normally sort of cite, you know, shock jocks as necessarily the way forward, but, you know, let's see.
Well, he broadcasted all, so yeah, it's but out you, there but the thing is,
Annette, there is an awful lot of stuff that goes on radio in America which would just basically be scotched at birth if it ever tried to get it on this side of the Atlantic, and that's something we need to be aware of. And believe
yes,
me, there's heaps of stuff I've heard about in terms of all sorts of routines, so we always have to have that sensitivity. I think it's very important, and I trust, actually, I mean, no, to be fair, you addressed a number of very hard-hitting issues there, and I trust that nobody actually...
Oh, I think so. I wasn't trying to be...
deliberately offensive or provocative.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I'm quoting what has been quoted, in print.
True.
And I know that this Rush Limbaugh thing was actually heard in England. I heard some friends over there who heard it, who read about it.
I think there are a whole heap of other things that are actually out there, but I think we'll need to obviously just, if we go down that line again, we need to just couch it in a slightly more... you can see what I'm doing here, Sarah. I'm trying to basically sort of distance ourselves whilst at the same time not losing the quality that is Annette Andre, really.
It's good food for thought, isn't it?
Exactly. Really. Food for thought. Last two questions for Annette Andre, please, Sarah.
Have you had a good conversation with us today, Annette?
I don't know.
I think it's been a splendid mini letter, although, as I say, there's an awful lot of things there that are open to debate and discussion and all sorts of other areas.
That's
really
good. It's always good
it's
to give things
I think
people
it's
things
open
to
and it's there for people. It's just my saying, you know, and it's open there for people to have all sorts of opinions, as we all do, and they have every right to their opinions.
Right, personally, I don't think that the Roman Catholic faith has been the same since we lost the Borgias, but never mind, that's a different line entirely.
Right, only kidding.
We know, with a lot of time, Pope Benedict, he's okay, honestly. You know, all sorts of things. What would have said we'd had a Polish Pope and a German Pope? Astonishing. But anyway, and the next question, Sarah.
Can we look forward to speaking to you again very soon, Annette?
Well, that's up to Alex.
That would be May. Yes, we'll have a May thing. Of course, May, named after the Virgin Mary, the month of Mary. There's a whole range of things there, but I don't think we'll go down to organised religion, otherwise...
Yeah, we're not going
Lord
to go,
knows
we're
what
go
what,
down
what agonies we could actually have. Instead, what's the weather like in upstate New York, Annette?
Sorry?
What's the weather like in upstate New York?
Well, we're having beautiful weather, and then very dry, very warm, and then we all sort of said, wish we could have some rain. Hmm. Which we did on the weekend, and we had some lovely rain on the weekend. It's really done its job, except that it's forgotten to stop.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the same here, except we uttered those magical words, hosepipe ban, which guarantees, as the weather forecasts and meteorologists have said, a month's rain in 48 hours. Brilliant.
That's what I heard today. My daughter said that. Are you having it now?
Strange enough, no, but that's because you're on air. Anyway, take care, Annette. We'll see you again very soon.
OK. Bye, Alex.